Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Esther. Esther chapter 5. Now it came about on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's rooms. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. It happened when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight, and the king extended to Esther the golden scepter which was in his hand. So Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter. Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you, Queen Esther? And what is your request? Even to half of the kingdom it will be given to you." And Esther said, "If it please the king, may the king and Haman come this day to the banquet that I prepared for him." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, that we may do as Esther desires." So the king and Haman came to the banquet which Esther had prepared. And as they drank their wine at the banquet, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? For it shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even the half of the kingdom it shall be done." So Esther answered and said, "My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, if it please the king to grant my petition and do what I request, may the king and Haman come to the banquet which I shall prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king says." Then Haman went out that day, glad and pleased of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand up or tremble before him, Haman was filled with anger against Mordecai. Haman controlled himself, however, went to his house, sent for his friends and his wife Zeresh. Then Haman recounted to them the glory of his riches and the number of his sons and every instance where the king had magnified him and how he had promoted him above the princes and servants of the king. And Haman said, "Even Esther the queen, let no one but me come with the king to the banquet which she prepared, and tomorrow also I am invited by her with the king. And yet all of this does not satisfy me every time I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." Then Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends said to him, "Have a gallows 50 cubits high made, and in the morning ask the king to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go joyfully with the king to the banquet." And the advice pleased Haman, so that he had the gallows made. Amen. Amen. So if you remember when we picked off before, Esther is challenged by Mordecai. She goes out. They fast for 3 days and three nights. And now in the midst of that time, God must have given Esther a strategy of how to approach this very, very dire predicament. And so the first thing that she does is she goes and she puts on basically her royal robes. In other words, she does everything earthly possible to gain the king's favor. And I think that's a really, really important point. She does everything humanly possible. Right, she gets dressed up. Now, she doesn't need to wear her royal robes. She could just, not necessarily just wear normal clothes, but she could dress up. But royal robes was a very distinct outfit that she wears. But she goes about, she does everything that she can in her human power to go and to gain the king's favor. Now, notice, getting the king's favor is only a work of God. And so, remember, the overriding theme of Esther, or one of the major themes, is the invisible hand of God, the sovereignty of God, God working, God's will, working behind the scenes to control the events. And we'll actually, tomorrow, we'll see it even broader when the king, Xerxes, actually has a dream, can't sleep. We obviously know it's God's hand that protects Mordecai and eventually protects everybody else. And so, She does everything humanly possible. She goes before the king, and the king's palace, they actually found excavations. I think it's one of the places is called Persepolis or some other places similar, and where they found this actual throne room, and it was elevated. It was so high there actually needed to be a footstool. It wasn't like this humongous chair, like you see in movies. It was a modest chair, but it was made out of solid gold. And the scepter which he had was also, it was true, it was a golden scepter. It was also made out of gold. And so this was the custom at the time. And so when the king sees her, so he's elevated so he could actually see the gate. And there's, remember, rows of ministers that are there, sees Esther at the court, and then invites her. In other words, God gives Esther favor with the king. She comes forward, and she makes this request. Now, before we get there, I just want to talk about something for a little bit and related to what Esther does. And I think it's really important that we understand this same principle as well. You know, when Esther goes before the king, when Esther wants something to get done, when Esther's doing God's will, number one, again, she does everything humanly possible for that to happen. But ultimately, it depends on the Lord. It reminds me, when I was meditating on this, it reminds me of a couple New Testament passages. One is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, and Paul says, you know, basically, I will become all things to all men, that I may in some way win some. And so there's this idea that Paul is going to do everything that he can humanly possibly do. Obviously, salvation belongs to the Lord. But he's going to do everything that he can do to bring people to Christ. It's that same kind of heart. Another passage is Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. And if you remember Matthew 10, verse 16, you know, he tells us that he sends us out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know, and he says something really interesting. He says, you know, be as wise or be as shrewd as serpents, but be as innocent as doves. Now, those two things seem to be a totally contradictory to one another. You know, and years ago I was reading this commentary, and the commentator was saying he's basically telling, at the same time he's telling people to be full of to be guileful, you know, to be aggressive in that way, but also to be guileless. And so how can you do two things at the same time? And so it must speak to something. Now, I know that most times when we think about the serpent, we think of something that's very evil. That's not in the context in Matthew. In the near ancient time, serpent was kind of a synonym for wisdom. And he's basically telling the people, he says, you need to go and you need to have wisdom. You need to go out and if I'm going to use the same passage in Esther to run through, it's the same idea as you need to do everything humanly possible. You know, but at the same time, you need to be as innocent as a dove. Now, that itself it needs a little explanation, because if you think about the motif of the dove in the New Testament, particularly in the passage of Matthew, so Matthew, chapter 3, now this is chapter 10, you know, the image of a dove is the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and there is that gentleness. But remember, there's also that power. And so the idea of innocent as a dove, it may not necessarily mean fully what we think it means, because the motif is really the Spirit that is gentle, but also is very, very powerful. And so there's this aspect, and I think this should help us when we're trying to pursue God. And especially when we feel like God's given us an assignment. Because there's a part, and I've been guilty of this myself. There have been times where I just felt like, okay, God, you're going to do it, so I don't do anything. You know, so God, you know, you're going to give me a promotion, or, you know, you're going to take care of this, or you're going to do this. And then I just feel like, okay, God, you're going to do it. And so I can just sit back and just watch you do it. But if you recognize the overriding theme of the scriptures is that God desires a partnership with his people. And so even if when God speaks and he says, you're going to get a promotion, well, he still expects you to work hard. You know, he expects you to still come on time to work. You know, he expects you to be pleasing to your boss, you know, and expects you to get along with your other employees. Because, you know, there's sometimes this idea that we have in the church and Christianity that if God says he's going to do it, then we just sit back and just let it happen. And we know that okay, I should caveat this. Sometimes that does happen just like that, where God just kind of wants to get you out of the way and he just does it on his own. But I would say that's quite rare. He expects us to do our part and then God does his part. In this way, he expects Esther, right, to get herself ready, to prepare herself, to go before the king, do everything humanly possible, you know, her beauty, you know, her clothing, whatever is necessary, and then God takes care of Xerxes by moving his heart and giving her favor. I think that's a really important thing. And so, you know, in that same way, if we think, and I think we inherently understand this. In that same way, let's think about the Lord's Prayer. We say, Lord, give us this day our daily food. Now, we don't, I mean, has any of you, you know, last night, I know we're fasting today, but last night you had your last meal, and did you go home and pray your prayer and just sit there and not do anything? Of course not, right? Of course not, right? You either cooked or you had your helper prepare a meal or you did something, you know, but we understand that we're saying, God, you're the one who blessed us with this meal, but you went out and prepared, bought the food, you know, cooked the meal, prepared the table. You did all these other things. We do our part and God does his part. And this seems to be this divine relationship, you know, that goes to work. I know I've ministered to young ladies at church, you know, who feel like, you know what, God's going to give me a husband, you know, and then they don't do anything, right? You know, I mean, just I need to be very careful right now of what I say, you know, but they're not like friendly to guys, you know, they just kind of could be quite standoffish sometimes, you know, they don't. And not that you have to go socialize and do all these things, but, you know, they don't go out of their way to make themselves available in this way. And then they just expect, you know, God to drop. Now, okay, with a caveat, sometimes that happens, you know, and so that can't be out of the realm of God. You know, God can do whatever he wants to do, but there's always something about us doing our part. You know, maybe in your life you believe that God's spoken to you about, you know, someone's salvation, maybe your dad, you know, or your aunt or your sibling or something to that effect, or your boss. Well, you can't just sit there and do nothing. You know, part of that word of salvation is that partnership with you, eventually at some point sharing the gospel, either through speech, which is really important, but also through the way that you live your life. And so you make Jesus appealing to people in that way. And I think this is a really important aspect of this. God is in charge of favor. You know, God's the one that moves people's hearts, right? But we also get to contribute to the work of God in the way that we live our life, in the way that we partner with the Lord in this way. And so seemingly God gave Esther a strategy. Again, she does everything humanly possible to present herself favorably before the king. Only God can move the king's heart, and he does, but Esther does everything that she can to present herself favorably to the king. And so what does she do? She goes and prepares a banquet, right? Right? Again, she does everything that she needs to do. So she prepares a banquet. They get together. Obviously, she must look quite sullen during this time. And so the king notices, and then she puts the plan in place and says, well, I'm going to have another banquet for you tomorrow. Again, only you and Haman can come. And when I get there, when you guys get there, then I'll tell you what's on my heart. And so you have this, you know, and you wonder, like, why couldn't she just say it right then and there? The leading of the Lord, because God had to prepare the king even more. You know, in essence, he needed to have this dream, you know, in this next chapter. Now, let me just finish with this. So Haman goes out. He's very happy he got this invitation. He goes out into this place. And then next thing you know, he goes to his family. He recounts, basically, he's very prideful, right? He recounts all the blessings that he has, all the ways that the king has honored him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all these things. And yet he sees Mordecai and all the joy, everything that he has, everything that he owns, every accolade that he's received seems as if it's just totally lost. And he loses everything, and then the plot goes out there. So, let's close our eyes. And this is a little out of context, the last part, but I want us to meditate on this. What is it today that is sapping you of your joy? You know, Haman should have been sapped of his joy. He's not a righteous man, but I mean, let's move past that part. But what is it today? Just think about it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Today, is there anything that is robbing you of your joy? Maybe it's the coronavirus and just worrying about it. Maybe, you know, it's the protests. Maybe it's your business or your job situation. Maybe you're having an issue with your daughter. Maybe you're having, you know, like there's that colleague at work that's just backstabbing you. Or it's your mom that is sick. And as we move into a time of worship, I just want to encourage you to just surrender whatever that is to the Lord. Jesus asks us to present our requests to Him, that His peace may be with us. He asks us to make our requests known to Him so that our joy may be complete. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. It could be multiple things. Let's learn the spiritual discipline of surrender. Let's surrender those things to the Lord. If you're really hung up about COVID-19, let's just surrender those fears and anxieties to the Lord. Maybe someone's giving you a really difficult time. Let's surrender that person and the need for revenge or whatever it may be. Let's surrender that wrong that maybe had been done to you. And let's really learn the discipline of surrender and submission. And let God fill you with His joy. Let's continue that process of surrendering to the Lord right now. Well, what is it that's robbing you of your joy? What's taken away what God wants to give to you? And let's surrender. Let's just lay it at His feet. Say, Lord, this is yours. It's not mine. Lord, teach us, God, the discipline of surrender. Let's surrender. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer, going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for a community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for our churches. Let's pray. Cover Singapore. They're in lockdown for one more month. So the government just announced that the whole month of June, they'll be locked down as well and maybe even further. So let's just pray. Let's pray for the country. Pray for our church there. Pray for P. Sam Kim, his family. Let's pray for just the work of God to continue. Let's pray for Indonesia. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to move. They're also in difficulties with COVID-19. Let's pray for SPIN. Lift up Pastor Salamat and the ministry here. We'll continue on, especially in their location. You know, protests are happening almost every Sunday. Let's pray for God's protection and covering. Well, let's pray over the Philippines as well. Let's pray for Spill. Pray for Ernie. Just really use him. And obviously in the U.S., let's pray for SP New York. Let's pray for Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. The Lord would just really use our ladies and really build a strong community in New York. Huh? Let's lift up these countries in our churches. Let's pray over our education ministries, and let's pray for SP Kids, for Pastor Mary and Lisa, SP Youth over Donald, and SP Youth, Pastor Andrew. Let's just ask God's hand to be with our leaders, our volunteers. Particularly pray for the SP Kids as we try to transition the kids back into service, and the videos that go out every week would really be effective to really minister to our kids, and parents can take them in their hand, but you know, also disciple their own kids through that and through their own ministry to their kids. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries, for over IP, the well, and the river. Pray for our Holy Spirit to really lead and guide our leaders. And pray particularly for our prayer team, that they would continue to hear from the Lord and just really download and pray the purposes of God. Let's lift up. Let's pray for the evening outreaches. Pray for SP Lights. Homie is suspended, but let's lift up the poor in the city during this time. And let's pray that the teams would gather together and be able to go out. Let's lift up. Let's cover House Church, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westfield. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead our leaders and our hosts, and you know, gather together and just really just be challenged one another to be sons of the house. Let's lift up. Lastly, let's just lift up our city. Let's just pray for God's peace and His grace just to cover us. And I know there's a lot of people in this city that are fasting today and tomorrow and Saturday. And let's pray that the accumulated prayers and fastings of God's people would move the hearts of the government, would move the hearts of the people, and that His peace and His justice would reign. Let's lift up. Let's pray together. Father, we pray, God, that You would teach us, Lord, the art of surrender, God. But all those things that are robbing us of our joy, God, are robbing us of our peace, Lord, we just lay at Your feet. We ask You to move on our behalf, God. Lord, we're going to do our part by surrendering those things to You, God. Surrender is not passive, it's active. And so we surrender our worries, our predicaments, our situations to You. In exchange, God, we ask for Your peace, Lord, Your joy to complete us. We thank You. Would You watch over us, watch over our city, Lord, be with all the followers of You, God, that are fasting today. Lord, give all of us strength and energy, Lord. We thank You, God. We love You. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.